In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I just recently returned from an adventure in Colorado and Arizona, where a group of friends embraced the desert life and walked the ancient paths. We hiked the narrow trail of Mesa Verde to explore the ruins of the Hopi Indians that were built into the mountains. At 8,500 feet, temperatures were high, the air was thin, and the ledges were even thinner. One of our trail mates had already turned back because of the daunting heights. With spectacular views, however, and this fascinating history of the Hopi Indians, the dicey climb was well worth the effort. So we returned to our car, ready to rest, not knowing that the danger was ahead of us. Behind the wheel, we made our way around the curves of the mountain. And as I was going up the first hill, I felt a hesitation. The wheel became rigid at the crest of the hill, and we lost our brakes. My silent prayers were answered as I saw a small overlook to the right and pulled the car to safety and put on the emergency brake as we were considering bailing out of the car. We made our way to safety, and park rangers came and found us and took us down the mountain. And it was only then that we realized our possible fate, what could have been. Now, I can count on one hand times that I have faced actual physical danger. And I must admit that it does clarify one's priorities. We live in such freedom that rarely are our choices life-altering. We can avoid situations, most of the time, that we presume dangerous, and even the ones that we think are uncomfortable. This is a luxury, not shared by all. Many face physical danger due to poverty, social status, race, or religion. Practicing Christianity in some places in the world can place your personal safety at risk. In our gospel this morning, we hear of one such story. This narrative has all the features of a binge-worthy miniseries: a drunken party, a provocative dance, a pride-filled promise, a bitter grudge, an outrageous request, a conflicted response, and silent witnesses. Mark's version of the beheading of John the Baptist is uncharacteristically detailed. And it's the only story in Mark where Jesus does not make an appearance. This tale describes the way of the world. Written just after the Roman destruction of the Jerusalem temple, it is a reminder that the Christian message can be subversive and in some places unwelcome, especially when prophetic faith clashes with political power. John's beheading was the end of innocence for the disciples, foreshadowing Jesus's death and the dangerous road ahead for Jesus' followers. But in our time, I think that we've lost sight of the danger. This passage not only reminds us of the ways in which the world goes astray, but of the insidious nature of our complacency. If this was your story, Which character would you play? You might be drawn to John the Baptist because of his passionate beliefs, his courage to speak truth to power, and to live and die into his calling. It sets him aside like heroes Martin Luther King or Oscar Romero. The cost is great to challenge systems that abuse power. And our desire for the status quo and not to stir up conflict can keep our faith lukewarm. The Holy Spirit in this passage asks us to examine the temperature of our convictions. Now, maybe you're disturbed by Herod's dilemma. He is a conflicted character, after all. He's drawn to John's teachings and yet driven by power and ambition and the need to save face. We can relate to Herod's weaknesses. Our daily life is filled with Herod-like struggles where we negotiate between what's right and keeping the peace. Herod's choices of the king's image over a life get repeated in our time over and over and over again when power wins over mercy. The Holy Spirit in this passage asks us to recognize our failures of compassion. Now, most of us can relate to the guests at Herod's party. We may not be decision makers. We may not be truth tellers. Rather, silent witnesses that go home from the party unmoved. How many of us turn our heads away from suffering? How many of us simply turn off the news? The Holy Spirit asks us in this passage to acknowledge our indifference. At a church vitality conference a few weeks ago, given by the Diocese of Virginia, Bishop Shannon addressed the subject of faith in the public square. He spoke passionately of our need to pay attention to what is going on in the world and to discern our our call as a Christian people to be agents of change. He spoke of spiritual apathy that avoids conflict or silently witnesses human suffering. And he made a clear distinction between partisan politics and standing up for the gospel in our time. Bishop Shannon's litmus test for when to get involved is the baptismal covenant. In baptism, we make promises, or they're made on our behalf, to fashion our lives according to God's purpose and to be Jesus' followers. Here are the questions we are asked. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread? And we respond, I will, with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil and wherever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? I will, with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. Now, at the risk of my own beheading, I'll challenge you all to examine where are you in this story and where are you in upholding your baptismal covenant? How is the Holy Spirit convicting you? Are you living a lukewarm faith? Do you need the passion of John so you can step up and turn your belief into action and maybe even sacrifice? Do you make Herod-like decisions that lack mercy and compassion? Are you witnesses to oppression and complicit in your silence? There is good news this morning, friends. This is not the end of the story. We go on to hear in Mark of Jesus's journey to the cross and to the victory of resurrection. Mark wants to tell this truth of how the world really is, and we watch in despair over it. And then he wants to tell us another truth of God's loving and tenacious efforts to redeem us by the love of Christ that lives within each one of us. So when our temples are destroyed, when we've lost a job, lost a relationship, lost our health, we know that that is not the last word. With God's help, we manifest that second truth through our love for one another and our willingness to uphold our baptismal covenant. We are all on a dangerous road and can lose our brakes and steering at any time. Thanks be to God, we have one another to keep us on the path, angels to guide us to safety, and sometimes painful reminders of what is important. I leave you with this familiar Franciscan blessing that I think is appropriate for today. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers and half-truths so that we may live deep within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice and oppression so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer so we may reach out our hands to comfort them. And finally, may God bless us with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world. Amen.